the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Queen of the Seraphic Order, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, peace and all good things in the Immaculate. When we think of St. Francis, at least this is true for me, I've often had difficulty making the connection because he's often portrayed in a manner of a legend, as if he were a superhero, a fantastic kind of character in a story, and less so a real person, just like anyone here. And I think I've discovered something in The Secret, or a key to identifying with him, which is to look at his spirit. It's very true that he was a historical person. People sometimes put Christ in that same category of a fantastic superhero, a legendary figure from literature, and don't connect with him as the real person, flesh and blood, who walked upon this earth. We've heard it said of St. Francis that he's to be admired but not imitated. And I don't think that's a very good way to look at St. Francis. Our Seraphic Father Francis imitated Christ. And of course, who can imitate Christ? If we were going to admire and not imitate someone, we'd say that of our Lord too. But our Lord wants us to imitate him. That is the definition of holiness. And St. Francis did that. He came to resemble Christ, both interiorly and exteriorly. And we're called to do the same. Where the difficulty comes in is some people get sidetracked and look at St. Francis in his historical context and think that we have to reproduce the life of St. Francis in its particulars of circumstance, of time and place, and that's a mistake, I think, because it's not the 13th century and it never will be again, and that's not the point. What we need to seek to imitate is the basic thrust of Francis's spirit and try to incorporate those same principles in ways that are adequate to our particular circumstances in the 21st century. And so I'd like to look at three virtues of St. Francis that we must seek to make real in our own lives. And those three virtues are simplicity, humility, and charity. And these three virtues, we could say, are practically the inversion of the values of the world today and this quote-unquote rat race that so much of humanity is caught up in. This rat race driven by egoism and running in pursuit of vain glory, chasing insatiably after a never-ending series of passing desires for the passing things of this world. The spirit of St. Francis, as the spirit of Christ, is the opposite. Everybody wants to be free of the rat race, and St. Francis shows us how to become free and to find that peace that our Lord promised. The brothers and sisters here who received formation in the Institute, and probably the Third Order Franciscans as well, will have heard of the three M's. That's the way it was summarized for me. Important points to remember about our Franciscan spirituality and with its Marian dimension. And the three M's stand for, the words come out better in Italian, but we can adapt them in English. So Marianita, or the Marian dimension, which I equate with simplicity, and I'll explain why. Then minorita, or minority, or being lesser or smaller, which I identify with the humility of Saint Francis. And then that greatest of virtues, the seraphic charity that Saint Francis practiced, which corresponds to the third M, or missionarita, or mission, the missionary aspect of our Franciscan charism. So to look at the simplicity, St. Francis really boiled his spiritual life down to identifying with Christ in his humanity. And we could say, it strikes me as a very Pauline spirituality, the spirituality of St. Paul, to identify with Christ and Christ crucified. But it's also very Marian. If we think what Our Lady tells us in the Gospel, in the story of Cana, do whatever he tells you. And simplicity is the opposite of complexity. It's to be one united thing, in essence. And Our Lady, as St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe taught us, is the shortest, sweetest, and most secure way to Jesus. And that's a very simple principle. And if we grasp that and hold on to it, with that kind of a simple principle, we can achieve a spirit of Christ within ourselves, reproduce Christ within ourselves, or she will help us reproduce Christ in our own soul. We were listening on our day of reflection to a talk by Father Thomas Dubay, who was speaking on contemplative prayer, and I learned something, another key. He said that as Christians, we often have difficulty with meditation, and some people have sought out, especially in recent decades, an Eastern approach to meditation, which focuses on technique. And he pointed out that that's really not a part of Christian meditation, because it's not technique, it's a gift that's given to us, contemplative prayer from God. And he said the secret is that we must live the gospel integrally, to imitate and put into practice everything that our Lord teaches us in the gospel. And then we'll be disposed. We'll already have united our will to the will of God, and we'll be disposed to receive the grace of contemplation. Well, Saint Francis understood this perfectly. In fact, it is the entire foundation of the Franciscan way of life. It's the first thing in the rule. This is how the rule of St. Francis begins, the Regula Bullata, the one that's approved by Pope Honorius. In the name of the Lord begins the rule and life of the Friars Minor. This is the rule and life of the Friars Minor, namely, to observe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ by living in obedience without property and in chastity. And then Friar Francis promises obedience and reverence to Pope Honorius and his canonically elected successors and to the Roman Catholic Church. All the friars must obey Friar Francis and his successors. That's chapter 1 of the rule of St. Francis. But right there we have it. The basic foundation of our spirituality is simply that, to live the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the key to becoming contemplative. So all Franciscans are contemplatives by definition in the rule and by this principle of contemplation. And that's simplicity. We don't need to go chasing techniques. We don't need to read X number of books or study under other masters. We have it all right there in the gospel. And then it's elaborated upon or illustrated through the life of Saint Francis and the other great Franciscan saints. So this point is simplicity, to simply forget other pursuits and distractions. That's why we have to disappropriate ourselves of the things of this world and attachments to be able to follow Christ simply. And when we do that, we achieve liberty, we achieve freedom, and we're disposed to a life of authentic prayer, like Saint Francis. As well as, of course, our Blessed Mother, who was attached to nothing of this world and full of grace and fully united with the will of God. Then there's the humility of Saint Francis, and that, I would say, corresponds to the minorita, or the minority of being lesser, not desiring to be the greatest but the least. And we just, in the last few days in the liturgy, celebrated on several occasions this same spirit of humility that came out so profoundly in the life of Saint Therese, who gave us the little way, who was a very small, unknown, hidden religious nun that the world never saw until after she was already great in heaven, and her spirituality spread throughout the church, and she was declared a doctor of the church. So our Lord once again showed us what he meant by, if you wish to be great, you must become like a little child. And in the Feast of the Guardian Angels, the gospel was a similar passage. In that gospel of the Feast of the Guardian Angels, unless you become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. For us, we often complain when our pride has been hurt, and we complain that we've been treated like a child. It's humiliating. We associate being childlike or to be perceived or treated as though we were children. That's an offense against us and our pride. And it's precisely that pride of which we need to be purified. We need to become like little children. We have to be empty of ourself, like Jesus was. He was obedient unto death. Obedience is something that is almost co-natural with being childlike. And like Saint John the Baptist, I must decrease so that he may increase, so that Christ may live in us. We need to have this spirit of humility and minority, and also poverty. Poverty is also another very important aspect, not only of Franciscan spirituality, which is foundational, but it's really an expression of that minority of being dependent, like a child, on the providence of God and on the charity of others as well. So Saint Francis showed us this virtue, which is a key to becoming Christ-like. And simplicity and humility then prepare the way for that greatest of virtues, which was so brilliant in Saint Francis, the virtue of charity, which we say in Saint Francis was seraphic. The seraphs of heaven burn with charity, particularly and first of all for God, love for God. Saint Francis has a famous prayer that's very brief and very simple, "My God and my all." And that's an expression of a soul that burns with charity for God. And the perfection of charity is the object of our religious life, as well as Christian life in general. And so, if we want to be beloved of God, we have to practice this charity. It's the first commandment our Lord taught us, the greatest. He said, "Love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and your neighbor as yourself." And so we have to love God by loving what he loves and hating what he hates. And God loves people, and God hates sin. And we have to cultivate in ourselves that same charity toward God, to identify with his dispositions. And when we have that, then we'll be prepared. We'll have that charity, that love of neighbor, that will inspire us and enable us to serve his people, our brethren. And that corresponds then with that third M, the missionarity or mission disposition that St. Francis had. So, in this sense, looking at the spiritual identity of St. Francis, it's much more easy to see his relevance to our day, and that Franciscanism is as current and as actual, as quote-unquote modern, as anything in the world today. And St. Francis embodied, or incarnated, in another word, the Spirit of Christ. We saw that just looking at the way he, at the virtues that he made real, that came to be in him through his practice and identification with Christ, as well as then, of course, he received the stigmata as a sign from heaven that this is a man who is like Christ. And so, looking at these spiritual qualities in St. Francis, we see the truth of the New Testament, that Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever, always the same. Jesus doesn't vary from age to age because he is the eternal Word, eternal truth. And so if we identify with these spiritual realities in St. Francis, we won't get hung up on questions of, well, how were things in the 13th century and how can we try to imitate that? That's not the point. We have to imitate rather not the circumstances but the dispositions that St. Francis exemplifies. So, brothers and sisters, with great gratitude to God for our Franciscan vocation and for the example that we have in him to become holy by living as he showed us how to live, by observing the rule which tells us to live the gospel, we have every hope, founded hope, to one day be united in heaven with our Seraphic Father and with Our Lady and with all the saints in heaven. May the Blessed Virgin Mary, Queen of the Seraphic Order, help us in this endeavor. Praise be Jesus and Mary.